要打开圣经到马可福音。
Please turn your Bibles to the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark.
我们已经有一段非常长的时间没有看马可福音了。
It's been a while since we've been in the book of Mark.
所以我们要在这里首先做一个复习。
And so we want to do a quick revision before we jump into today's topic.
能够复习主的话是好的。
And it is a good thing to be able to revise God's word.
就好像在诗篇第105篇还有诗篇第106篇诗人重复了以色列的历史。
It is like in Psalm 105 and 106 where the psalmist repeats Israel's history.
他把神耶和华如何带领以色列出埃及地，如何降灾在埃及，如何以色列在旷野那里埋怨犯罪等等的，都一一重复了。
And he repeats the history of Israel from its exodus from Egypt and God's plagues upon Egypt to its wandering in the desert. And he repeats this history.
有些时候我们会问，为什么不断地重复这些事情呢？我们都已经知道，非常熟悉了。
You might ask yourself, why do we have to repeat this? Are we not already familiar with this?
因为我们都是罪人，我们是非常健忘的。
It's because we are sinners and we are forgetful people.
就像以色列一样，在好时光他们就忘记神，在患难的时候他们就祷告神。
We are not unlike Israel, where in good times we forget the Lord and in bad times we hurry to Him.
所以让我们一同来复习马可福音，我们从第一章开始来复习。
So let's do a quick revision of Mark and we'll do so from chapter 1.
我们知道马可福音的这个作者就是当然马可，他是写给在罗马的基督徒。
We know of course that the author of this gospel is Mark and he is writing to the believers in Rome.
这个时候是尼禄王做王的时候，那一个时候因为尼禄王他放火烧了这个半个罗马市，因为很多人怀疑是这个尼禄王所放的火，他就指责基督徒，找基督徒来做他的替死鬼。
And the historical context of this was that this was written at a time whenthe Emperor Nero was in power. He had set fire to half of Rome, and many people suspected that he was behind it. In order to find a scapegoat, he pointed the finger at Christians and accused them of setting fire to the place.
所以因着这样就开始了对基督徒的一场大逼迫。
And this was the start of a great persecution of the church.
在写这个福音书给罗马的这些基督徒，马可为的是要鼓励他们，因为在这一本福音书里面我们看见马可注重在耶稣为这个受苦的奴仆。
Mark writes this letter at such a time to encourage the Christians in Rome. And we see that the focus or the slant that Mark takes in his gospel or in this book is to position Jesus as the suffering servant.
耶稣不断地行神迹医治人教导神的话，不过他却被拒绝了。
Jesus goes around and he does miracles and he heals people one after another, yet he is rejected.
不只是以色列人拒绝他，甚至是这些犹太人的领袖拒绝他，在他的家乡耶稣也被拒绝。
It is not just the Israelites that reject him, it is the religious leaders that reject him. He is even rejected in his hometown.
就像这些受逼迫的基督徒一样，他们要学习像他们的主一样，受到逼迫，受到拒绝。
And like their own God, their own Lord that was rejected, Mark was writing to them,that they might learn from their own Lord to be rejected by people.
所以当我们在看马可福音的时候，我们会看见耶稣如何的受苦。
And so as we look at the book of Mark, we will see how Jesus goes through that suffering.
我们首先在第一章那里看见32到34节，耶稣只治好了许多害各样病的人，又赶出许多鬼，这个是第一章第34节。
We see in chapter 1 verse 32 that Jesus was healing those who were sick and oppressed by demons.
在第二章的时候，他又医好了一个患一个瘫子。
We see again in chapter 2 that that Jesus heals a paralytic.
当他治好这个瘫子之前，在第五节那里，他对瘫子说：“小子，你的罪赦了。”
And after he does this, he says in verse 5 of chapter 2, "Son, your sins are forgiven."
因着这样，这些法利赛人还有文士就开始非常的讨厌耶稣。
And it is because of this that the Pharisees and the scribes begin to hate Jesus.
因为他们说，除了神之外，还有谁能够赦免罪呢？
Because they say that other than God, who else can forgive sin?
所以他们就开始了这一场对耶稣的逼迫。
And so they begin a systematic persecution of Jesus.
我们来到第三章的时候，看见这些文士跟法利赛人，他们是在暗地里的逼迫耶稣。
And we see in chapter 3, as we arrive at chapter 3, that the scribes and the Pharisees were secretly trying to plot the downfall of Jesus.
因为在第二节那里告诉我们，众人窥探耶稣是在暗地里想要抓到耶稣有什么把柄来指责他。
And we see this in verse 2 of chapter 3, where he says that they watched Jesus to see whether he would heal, and this was a covert plan to persecute him.
不过耶稣指责他们，当众的指责他们。
Yet when Jesus addresses them, he addresses them in public.
所以在第六节就告诉我们，法利赛人出去同西律党的人商议怎样可以除灭耶稣。
And so we see in verse 6 where it says the Pharisees went out and immediately held counsel with the Herodians against him how to destroy him.
马可福音三章三十节就告诉我们，他们已经下定了决心，这话是因为他们说他是被污鬼扶着的。
Now by the time we reach verse 30 of the same chapter, we see that they have come to that decision to persecute him because it says they say he has an unclean spirit.
虽然他们知道耶稣行神迹，他们无法推诿他所做的的的确确是神迹，不过他们已经下定了决心，甚至说耶稣的神迹是靠着鬼王而做的。
And even though they saw with their own eyes what he was doing, these miracles that he was doing, and they could not refuteThat he was from Jesus. Still, they decided that he was from God. Still, they decided that they would persecute him, and in fact, ascribed all his miracles to an unclean spirit.
到了第四章，耶稣因为要审判这些法利赛人，就开始跟他们讲比喻。
When we arrive at chapter 4, Jesus, in order to judge the Pharisees, started to speak in parables.
所以比喻是为了审判。
And we saw that the aim of parables was to judge.
因为四章十一节告诉我们，耶稣对门徒说，神国的奥秘只叫你们知道，若是对外人讲，凡事就用比喻，叫他们看是看见，却不晓得，听是听见，却不明白，恐怕他们回转过来，就得赦免。
And Jesus says as much in verse 11, where he says, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but for those outside,everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven."
耶稣不是一开始他的事工就对他的这些人讲比喻，他是行了许多的神迹，在大约两年之后，他的事工的两年之后，当这些法利赛人跟文士下定决心拒绝他了之后，他才开始讲比喻的。
Now notice that Jesus doesn't start out by speaking in parables. He does that for about 2 years of his ministry. He doesn't. Up until the Pharisees and the scribes had decided that they would reject him, then does he speak in parables.
然后我们就来到了第六章，耶稣来到了他的家乡，在拿撒勒那里，他也被这些他家乡的人拒绝。
We arrive then at Chapter 6, and we see that Jesus was rejected even at Nazareth, his hometown.
所以当以色列人拒绝了耶稣之后，他来到了第七章的时候，他就带领十二门徒去到外邦人的地方。
And so in chapter 7, he takes his disciples and he goes to the land of the Gentiles.
在 这一个时候是进入了耶稣的施工大约第三年的开始。
This would be round about the third year of Jesus' ministry.
耶稣已经结束了他对以色列人这一个公开的施工。
And at this point, he had concluded his public ministry to Israel.
他开始带领他的门徒去到外邦人的地方，为的是离开以色列。他要花时间与他的十二门徒一起，特别给他们一个训练。
And thus begins his time with the Gentiles. He takes the disciples there with him. He spends time with the Gentiles. And it is also a time where he is able to train his disciples.
他不要在这个以色列那里做他的施工，是为了要特别花时间与他的门徒一同。
He does not want to be in, or does not want to continue to minister to the Israelites. He leaves them in order that he might spend time with the disciples.
为什么？因为我们知道耶稣即将要钉死十字架了。
Why? Because we know that he is about to head for the cross.
当他钉死十字架之后，他将会把大使命交托给门徒。
And when he does go on to the cross, he is then going to give the great commission to his disciples.
门徒这个时候还没有预备好。
At this point in time, however, they are not yet ready.
因为他们的心里还是想着耶稣是这个领袖，他会如何的带领这个天军天兵来把罗马的帝国给赶出去。
At this point, they still believe that he is a leader that is somehow going to remove the oppression and the rule of the Romans over them.
在门徒的眼里，外邦人是不配得救的。
And as far as their view was concerned, the people outside of Israel, the Gentiles, were not deserving of salvation.
只有以色列是神的选民，外邦人是不配得到神的恩典。
As far as they were concerned, only Israel was the chosen people, the Gentiles were not.
所以耶稣就带他们到外邦人地区，在第七章二十四节那里，他医好了这个迦南妇人的孩子。
And so he takes them to the land of the Gentiles, and there he heals the daughter of a Gentile woman.
甚至称赞这一个妇人是有信心的人。
Not only that, he even compliments this Gentile woman on her faith.
他又继续的医好了这个聋哑的人，都是在外邦人的地区那里所行的神迹。
He goes on to heal a deaf man again in the land of the Gentiles.
这一切都是为了训练门徒，让他们知道原来神的救恩也是赐给外邦人的。
And he does this in order to train the disciples and to point out to them that the grace of God is also for them.
这一切就让我们看见了这个耶稣在训练他的门徒，直到第八章二十七节的时候，门徒才是真正得救的时候。
And it is not until chapter 8 verse 27 of their training when they come to truly believe in who he is.
因为耶稣问他们有人说我是谁？
You will see that in verse 27 Jesus asks them, who do people say that I am?
他们回答第28节，有人说是施洗的约翰，有人说是以利亚，又有人说是先知里的一位，又问他们说你们说我是谁？
And they say to him, some people say you're John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others yet still say you are one of the prophets. And then he asks them again, but who do you say that I am?
彼得回答说你是基督。
Peter answers him, you are the Christ.
在这之前只有鬼魔认耶稣是基督。
Prior to this, it is only the demons who recognize that Jesus was the Christ.
不过耶稣不许他们说话。
But Jesus did not want them to speak.
以色列人还有以色列的宗教领袖拒绝基督。
Israel, the chosen people and the religious leaders rejected the Messiah.
门徒没有讲过耶稣是基督。
His disciples did not say he was the Christ.
直到八章第二十九节，他们才开始认清楚，原来他就是基督，他就是弥赛亚，他就是救主。
And it is not until we get to 8verse 29 that they say, you are the Messiah, you are the Christ.
就是在他们认了耶稣是基督的时候，这一个可以说是他们认罪悔改的那一刹那，耶稣就开始教导他们有关他自己要上十字架的。
And you could say it was at this juncture where they were saved, and Jesus now begins to teach them of things that need to happen to him.
所以在8章31节，耶稣就教导他们，让他们知道，原来人子是要上十字架，是要受逼迫，是要受苦，而且要被钉死。
And so he then teaches them that the Son of Man will have to be crucified on the cross, he will have to suffer, and he will have to die.
不过门徒里的脑子里所想的还是他们要的是荣耀，他们所要的不是逼迫。
But they can't wrap their heads around this, and as far as they're concerned, they're looking for glory, they're looking for victory, and it not persecution and death.
所以8章32节，耶稣明明的说这话的时候，彼得竟然拉着耶稣劝他，中文这里说劝他，不过我们上次讲到原来彼得是要斥责耶稣，他是跟耶稣讲不可以。
We see this underscored in chapter 8 verse 32. And he said this plainly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him.
这一个就让我们看见这个门徒需要很多的这个训练。
And this simply reveals to us that these disciples required plenty of training.
所以耶稣在他们面前显荣。
And so Jesus before them was transfigured.
为的是要给他们看见这么如此大的神迹，是为了要加强他们的信心，让他们能够的面对这一个将来的逼迫。
He revealed just a shade of his glory in order that they will come to see the glory that is coming to them in the future, that they might also be able to endure the suffering that is to come.
所以第九章那里我们就看见马可把这个登山变相的这件事情记载下来。
And we see the record of the transfiguration in chapter 9.
然后他们从山上下来的之后，耶稣还是继续的教导他们，为什么？因为他们缺乏这个祷告。
As they come down from the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus continues to teach them. He teaches them about prayer.
这个就在第14节到第29节那里看见了。
And we see this account in verse 14 to verse 29.
因为门徒没有办法赶走这个巫鬼，耶稣告诉他们，他们因为没有祷告。
The disciples were not able to remove the unclean spirit from the boy, and Jesus tells them, it is because they're not prayerful.
所以耶稣就在教导他们祷告的功课。
And so he teaches them the lesson on prayer.
之后他们又在那里争辩在神的国谁为大。
Then after that, they get into a debate on who is the greatest in God's kingdom.
在九章三十三节他们来到加百农，耶稣在屋里问门徒说，你们在路上议论的是什么？门徒不作声，因为他们在路上彼此争论谁为大。
In verse 33, he asked them,When they had reached Capernaum, he asked them, what were you discussing along the way? And they kept silent, for on the way they had argued with one another about who was the greatest.
我们记得这一些功课都是耶稣与十二门徒罢了，没有在这个众人那里教导。
Now we also noted that these lessons were just between Jesus and his 12 apostles.
所以在这一段经文那里我们就学习了这个谦卑的功课。
And in the scripture here, we learned the lesson on humility.
这个就是上一次我们讲到第42节。
And last time we got up to verse 42.
就带我们进入了今天的经文，我们来看马可福音第九章43到50节。
Which takes us to today's passage in Mark chapter 9 verse 43 to verse 50.
马可福音第九章第四十三节，倘若你一只手叫你跌倒，就把它砍下来，你缺了肢体进入永生，强如有两只手落到地狱，入那不灭的火里去。倘若你一只脚叫你跌倒，就把它砍下来，你瘸腿进入永生，强如有两只腿 有两只脚被丢在地狱里，倘若你一只眼叫你跌倒，就去掉它，你只有一只眼进入神的国，强如有两只眼被丢在地狱里，在那里虫是不死的，火是不灭的，因为必用火当盐腌个人。盐本是好的，若失了味，可用什么叫它再咸呢？你们里头应当有盐，彼此和睦。
Mark 9:43-50. And if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than with two hands to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than with two feet to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into hell, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good. But if the salt has lost its saltiness, how will you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another.
在我们上一次讲到马可福音的时候，我们停止在第42节。
As we said just now, we stopped at verse 42 in our study of Mark.
上一次我们讲到这个谦卑的功课。
And the last time we had learned the lesson on humility.
然后耶稣结束的时候说，凡使这信我的一个小子跌倒的，倒不如把大磨石圈在这人的颈项上，扔在海里。
Now we ended that passage with verse 42 where it says, whoever, and this is Jesus speaking, whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea.
门徒必须学习这一个谦卑的功课，其中一个非常重要的就是不要绊倒其他的人，不要导致其他的人犯罪。
And in this lesson of humility, one of the key things that Jesus wanted them to learn was that they should not stumble anyone around them.
一个基督徒要如何的不绊倒别的人，使别的人不犯罪呢？
How then can a Christian not stumble those around him and cause them to sin?
他自己必须要是一个圣洁的人。
He or she must themselves be a holy person.
他自己必须是一个效忠神的人。
He or she themselves must be one that revered God.
他必须是一个非常有爱心的人。
This person needs to be one who is full of love.
所以我们就来看今天的功课是符合圣经的极端主义。
And this brings us to today's passage, which we have titled Biblical Extremism.
第一点就是需要有极端的圣洁。
Now, first point is extreme separation.
一个基督徒如果要不使其他人犯罪，要不绊倒其他的人，他自己必须是一个非常圣洁的人。
For a person, a believer, to not stumble those around him or her, that person needs to live a holy life.
我们在这里就看见了一个真正的基督徒，他是与罪隔离的，他是与罪分离的人。
Here we see a Christian who has separated himself from sin.
圣洁或者 holiness 就是使与这个世界分别开来，分别为圣的意思。
And the meaning of the word holiness is to be set apart from the world.
所以在这里43-48节，我们就看见耶稣给的这个例子，就是讲到这个手啊、脚啊、眼睛啊，就是这身体的肢体，如果导致一个人犯罪，他倒不如把这一些肢体，把手给砍掉，把脚给砍掉。
Jesus here is talking about a person who, if their flesh, because he talks about the different members of the body, right? He talks about the hand causing you to sin, the eyes and the legs, and he says if these members of your body cause you to sin, then you are better off removing them altogether.
这里所用的这些词汇非常的强烈，非常的极端。
And this is really intense, really strong language.
不过这些只不过是比喻。
But these are simply examples.
这里所讲的不是真正的把手把脚给砍掉。
He's not asking you to go cut off your eye or dig out your eye or cut off your hand.
我们的牧师常常有提到说，那一些很好赌的赌徒，甚至是手脚都给砍了之后，还能够用嘴巴赌。
And our pastor has said before from this pulpit that gamblers, even in trying to stop their gambling, if they remove their arms and their legs, their heart is still wanting to gamble.
所以这里所讲的不是真正的把手把脚给斩掉，而是这里所讲的是你必须要严重的对待罪。
So the passage here isn't asking us to remove or cut off our members, it is asking us to take sin seriously.
因为我们知道罪是从心里面出来的。
Because we know that sin originates from the heart.
不是你的手，不是你的脚，而是你的心。
It is not your arms, it is not your legs, but it is your heart.
雅各书第一章十四节那里说，个人被试探，乃是被自己的私欲牵引诱惑的，私欲既怀了胎，就生出罪来。
James 1:14 and 15 say, each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death.
所以耶稣的教导是要这些真正的门徒必须要非常严重的对待罪。
Jesus' lesson here is for true believers to view sin with severity.
保罗在他的书信里面用了同样的词，他说要致死罪。
And Paul in his epistle used similar, strong language where he says put to death sin.
所以这一切都是看内心而不只是外表的。
And these two talk about the heart and not just the external, conformity.
我们记得耶稣在马可福音第七章那里也是这么说。
We also see that Jesus in Mark 7 had said something to that effect.
如果你翻回到第七章第十四节，耶稣叫众人来对他们说，你们都要听我的话，也要明白，从外面进去的不能污秽人，唯有从里面出来的乃能污秽人。
Jesus says this in chapter 7 verse 14 to verse 16. He called the people to him again and he said to them, hear me all of you and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going into him can defile him. But the things that come out of a person are what defile him.
所以我们所要除掉的是里头的罪，而不是把你的手脚给砍掉。
What we are trying to remove is the sin that dwells inside of us and not the limbs or the members of our body.
不过耶稣用这样的比喻让门徒看见我们必须要有对罪要有一种极端的态度。
But he uses this illustration in order to tell us that we need to take an extreme view on sin.
不是可有可无。
It is not something we approach, indifferently.
这个是必须要做的，要致死罪，甚至少像把手把脚给砍掉一样。
It is a necessity and we would go to great extremes, the illustration here being cutting off our hands and legs in order to remove the sin from our lives.
这里所用的词汇非常的严重，因为耶稣不是说你能够有两只脚走进这一个天堂，他说你有两只脚会被丢进地狱。你如果有两只手会被丢进地狱，也就是说如果继续犯罪的话，你甚至不是一个基督徒。
He uses strong language here, and even in saying that you will go to hell with, sin will lead you to hell, he says, you're not strolling into hell, your feet will be thrown into hell, and your hands will be thrown into hell.
这里所讲的这一个地狱在原文里头就是希腊文 Gehenna.
This hell here refers to the Hebrew word Gehenna.
这一个希腊文这个希腊文的 Gehenna 的意思对犹太人来说非常的清晰。
Excuse me, the Greek word Gehenna, and this is something that the Israelites knew well, this word.
因为刚才我们在诗篇第106篇读到了以色列人当他们进入这个应许地的时候，他们拜假神。 他们甚至拜这一个假神摩洛。
We read just now from Psalm 106 as the Israelites were entering the promised land. They then began to worship a false god. This false god was had the name Molech.
这一个假神摩洛所需要的祭物就是以色列这些敬拜者的孩子。
And what this Molech demanded of them in worship of him was sacrifice of their children.
所以在刚才我们读的诗篇第105篇是非常恰当，刚好让我们看见以色列人的历史，他们敬拜这个摩洛的时候，他们甚至把自己的孩子给献为祭物。
And the psalm was apt to read today because we see that these people in worshipping this false god Molech would go to the lengthsof even sacrificing their own flesh and blood.
这个亚哈斯王还有玛拿西王就是把自己的孩子献了给这个摩洛。
It is where Ahaz and Manasseh, these two kings who offered human sacrifices to Molech.
这些我们在这个历王记下还有历代记下都看见。
And we see this in the book of Kings.
直到约西亚是一个非常好的敬畏主神的王。
Until we get to King Josiah, who is a good king,
他把这一切这一些敬拜摩洛的这些习惯，还有这些恶习，这些罪恶都止境了。
And Josiah took all of this Molech worship and put an end to it.
他就在那一个地方，他把那一个他们献孩童的地方，这个是历史学家告诉我们的，他把这个献孩童的地方变成一个垃圾堆。
And history tells us as well that Josiah made this place where a child sacrifice was done, he made it into a dump.
就在这个耶路撒冷的南部。
And this was in the south of Jerusalem, or towards the south of Jerusalem.
在这个耶路撒冷的南部，这一些以色列人献孩童的地方，这个好王约西亚把这个地方变成了一个24小时七天都是用火焚烧着这个垃圾的地方。
And this place Josiah made into a furnace where 24 hours a day waste and trash was being burnt.
所以那里的火是不灭的，而且这一些腐烂的这些食物等等的都丢在那里，那里的虫是不死的。
And this fire was an unquenchable fire. It was a fire that continued 24 hours a day. And that was where all the waste of Israel was sent to.
这里的火每天都在烧，而且24小时的都在烧，所以这个地方就是 Gehenna.
This place where the fire was ongoing for 24 hours and where waste was thrown to was referred to as Gehenna.
所以当耶稣讲到这些人如果是犯罪而不肯放弃这些罪的话，就如同被丢在这一个 Gehenna， 被永远的焚烧在这些犹太人的脑子里，他们一听到这个地方，他们所想到的就是不断的烧，不断的被虫咬。
And this word Gehenna was what Jesus used when he said, "You will go to hell with these two hands, and your feet will be thrown into hell." He was saying to them that you will be sent to Gehenna where the fires will not stop burning, and they knew it well.
他们知道就在耶路撒冷的南部，他们的脑子里就想到了这一个火不断的烧。
This word would bring up the picture of this place where the fires would not stop burning.
所以当一个人他不肯放弃他的罪的话，就会进入地狱。
And so when a person refuses to let go of their sin, this person goes to hell.
一个人要如何的进入天堂呢？他必须要极端的圣洁。
How then can a person go to heaven? This person needs to be extremely holy.
他要与罪分别开来。
This person needs to separate themselves from sin.
就像保罗所讲的，我攻克己身，叫身服我。
It's like as Paul says, I beat my body to bring it into subjection.
保罗也在哥林多后书那里写到，我们有这等的应许，就当洁净自己，除去身体、灵魂一切的污秽，敬畏神得以成圣。
Paul also says in 2 Corinthians, since we have these promises, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God.
所以耶稣在这里教导我们符合圣经的极端主义是什么呢？
So what is it that Jesus teaches us in terms of this biblical extremism?
首先我们必须要有极端的圣洁。
First, we need to have extreme separation.
第二，我们必须要有极端的牺牲。
Second, we need extreme sacrifice.
我们看第49节。
Let us look at verse 49.
因为必用火当盐腌个人。
For everyone will be salted with fire.
为什么说用火当盐腌个人好像非常抽象？
Why does he say that everyone will be salted with fire?
很短的一节。
It's a short verse.
不过我们也要记得，耶稣是对十二门徒所讲的，他们很熟悉旧约的教导。
Yet let's not forget that he is speaking to the apostles, and they are very familiar with the Old Testament.
所以我们要明白这一节经文的话，必须要回到旧约的经文那里看。
So in order for us to better understand it, we need to go back to the Old Testament.
在旧约里头，火跟盐都是与这一个献祭有关系的。
In the Old Testament, both salt and fire were associated with offering sacrifices.
在以斯拉记第六章九到十节，这里这么写着：他们与天上的神献燔祭所需用的公牛犊、公绵羊、绵羊羔，并所用的麦子、盐、酒、油，都要照耶路撒冷祭司的话，每日供祭他们。不得有误，好叫他们献馨香的祭给天上的神。
Ezra 6:9-10 says, And whatever is needed, bulls, rams, or sheep, for burnt offerings to the God of heaven, wheat, salt, wine, or oil, as the priests at Jerusalem require, let that be given to them day by day without fail, that they may offer pleasing sacrifices to the God of heaven.
所以这里提到盐是与这一个献祭有关系的。
So we see clearly that there is the involvement of salt in the offering of sacrifice.
这个盐是怎么用的呢？
How is this salt used?
以西结书就告诉我们，洁净了坛之后，他们要将一只无残疾的公牛犊和羊群中一只无残疾的公绵羊奉到耶和华前，祭司要撒盐在其上，献与耶和华为燔祭。
Over in Ezekiel 43:23-24, we see that when you have finished purifying it, you shall offer a bull from the herd without blemish and a ram from the flock without blemish. You shall present them before the Lord, and the priests shall sprinkle salt on them and offer them up as a burnt offering to the Lord.
所以这个祭司要把这个盐撒在这个祭物上。
The priest then needs to take a sprinkling of salt and sprinkle it over these sacrifices.
所以我们在看这一节经文的时候，第四十九节就是我们的第二点，我就讲到这里是一个极端的献祭。
And this is why our second
point. 对不起，一个极端的牺牲。
And that's why our second point is an extreme sacrifice, and that's where we get this from in verse 49.
因为耶稣说，必用火当盐腌个人。
Because he says, for everyone will be salted with fire.
所以这个火是为了要烧这个祭物的。
The fire obviously is meant to consume the sacrifice.
这个盐是为了要撒在这个祭物上的。
And the salt is used to sprinkle on that sacrifice.
不过这个盐代表了什么？为什么祭司当时要用盐撒在这个祭物上？
But what does that salt represent? Why do the priests have to sprinkle the sacrifices with salt?
利未记二章十三节就给我们答案。
And we find the answer in Leviticus 2 chapter, verse 13.
第二章十三节，利未记二章十三节这里说，凡献为素祭的供物都要用盐调和，在素祭上不可缺了你神立约的盐，一切的供物都要配盐而献。
It says, you shall season all your grain offerings with salt. You shall not let the salt of the covenant with your God be missing from the grain offering. With all your offerings, you shall offer salt.
所以这里所讲的是你神立约的盐，盐其实就代表了神的约。
Over here it says the salt of the covenant with your God, and here the salt represents that covenant.
这个盐就代表了神的信实。
This salt represents God's faithfulness.
因为盐是一种防腐剂。
Because salt is a type of a preservative.
这个防腐剂就是不会腐烂的，是恒久忍耐的。所以盐就代表了神的信实。
Preservative obviously prevents things from going bad, and it is enduring, and therefore the salt then represents the enduring faithfulness of God.
所以他们在献祭的时候撒盐在上头，就代表了神是一个信实守约的神，神会纪念他的这个应许。
And so sprinkling salt on the sacrifices meant that God was a God who would fulfill His promises, and he would be faithful in his covenant.
不过这里还有另外一段非常重要的是，这里所讲的是素祭，这 grain offering.
But there is something even more important. Over here, we talk about the grain offering.
当我们读利未记第一章到第五章的时候，我们会发现那里有五种祭物。
When we read Leviticus 1 to 5, we will see that there are listed five types of sacrifices.
这五种祭物四种是有有关动物的。
Of the five, four of them involve animal sacrifices.
这个燔祭、平安祭、赎罪祭还有赎愆祭，这一些都是用这一个动物的。
We see burnt offerings, we see peace offerings, we see sin offerings, and we see guilt offerings. And these four require the sacrifice of animals.
当然我们知道这些都是为了赎罪。
Of course, we also understand that this is done in order to pay the price of sin.
可是我们今天不再献这一个动物为祭物。
But today we do not offer up animals as sacrifice.
因为耶稣是我们最终的这一个赎罪祭。
Because Jesus has become the ultimate sacrifice for us.
耶稣献了自己，他是神除去罪的羔羊。
Jesus being God's lamb that takes away the sins.
所以我们不再献祭。
As a result, we no longer have to offer up sacrifices.
也就是说，我们不能够自己救自己。
It also means that we cannot save ourselves.
耶稣就是神赐给我们的赎罪祭。
Jesus is the way that God has designed for our sins to be forgiven.
我们必须认罪悔改，信靠耶稣。
We must repent of our sins and believe in Jesus.
你不能够自己靠着自己的力量除去你的罪。
And you cannot in your own strength remove the sin from your heart.
所以这里所讲的不是在献这一个公牛等等的祭，而是献这个素祭。这个盐是与这个素祭有关的。
So here it's not talking about an animal sacrifice. It's talking about this grain offerings with salt.
所以当我们献这一个素祭的时候，是要纪念神的约。
In the sacrifice referred to here, it is remembering God's covenant with us.
不过同时间我们还是要献这一个素祭。
At the same time, we do have to give up this offering.
也就是说我们要把自己献上，这个就是新约的教导。
And the New Testament teaching is that we offer up ourselves, our lives.
所以我们回到第49节，马可福音第九章第49节，因为必用火当盐腌个人的意思就是说我们必须要把自己献上为祭。
Now, we come back to verse 49. Essentially, what Mark is saying in verse 49 where he says, for everyone will be salted with fire, he means to say that we must offer up our lives as a sacrifice.
罗马书十二章一节同样的教导让我们看见，弟兄们，我以神的慈悲劝你们，将身体献上，当作活祭，是圣洁的，是神所喜悦的，你们如此侍奉乃是理所当然的。
This is underscored in Romans 12:1 where Paul says, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship.
第四十九节非常短的一节，不过犹太人听了，他们明白这一个背景。
And though verse 49 is such a short verse, to the ears of the Jewish listeners then, they understood that rich history.
我们必须把自己献上为祭，因为所有的人，每一个人都当用火烟，当盐烟。
We must offer up our lives as a sacrifice because everyone will be salted with fire.
火就代表了这一个献祭。
And that fire represents sacrifice.
这一个盐是代表了神是守约的，而且我们的这一个祭是恒久忍耐的祭。
And the salt represents God that is faithful to uphold his covenant.
所以我们看呢，第一点就是要有极端的圣洁，第二点是要有极端的牺牲，把自己给献上，然后我们看最后一点就是极端的顺服。
So we've seen point one, extreme separation. Point two is extreme sacrifice. We come to our third point, which is extreme submission.
第五十节，盐本是好的，若失了味，可用什么叫它再咸呢？你们里头应当有盐，彼此和睦。
It says in verse 50, salt is good, but if the salt has lost its saltiness, how will you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another.
盐怎么可能会失味呢？
How can salt lose its saltiness?
我们今天可能不明白这一个背景，因为我们通常用来煮饭的那个盐都是非常纯的，是100%的纯的盐。
We might not understand this in today's context. The salt that we use to cook on a daily basis is salt that is of extreme concentration.
这个犹太人的背景不一样，他们当时的这个盐是有一些盐是掺着这个石膏的。
At that time, the salt that the Jews used was certainly not the same salt because their salt had a mix of salt as well as gypsum.
这一个有些这个石膏是白色的粉来的，跟盐差不多一样，分辨不出来。
And that gypsum is a white powdery substance that you cannot tell apart from salt.
历史学家就告诉我们，当时在这一个以色列有着这一种混杂了的盐，就是如果有很多石膏粉在里面的，这个其实是没有用的盐。
And we hear from historians that in that time where salt had a high content of gypsum actually it was of little use.
所以这个失了味的盐其实就是这个混杂了的盐，是与石膏粉掺了在一起的盐，是没有用的。
And so the salt that is referred to in verse 50 is that salt that has been mixed with gypsum. It is useless.
为什么我称这一段经文就是最后一节的给我们这个最后一点就是极端的顺服。
Why have I titled this last point extreme submission?
因为耶稣说你们里头当有盐彼此和睦。
Because Jesus says that, where there is salt, in yourselves, be at peace with one another.
为什么有盐里头有盐就彼此和睦？
Why is it have, when you have salt in yourselves, you will be at peace with one another?
我们记得耶稣也用这同样的比喻说什么，你们是世界上的光，还有你们是世界上的盐。
This echoes what Jesus said also when he said that you are the light and salt of the world.
当世界看见你们的时候，会知道你们原来是属神的人。
And he says that when the world looks at you, they will know that you are mine.
我们回到第九章第三十三节。
Now we go back to chapter 9 verse 33.
他们来到加百农，耶稣在屋里问门徒说，你们在路上议论的是什么？门徒不作声，因为他们在路上彼此争论谁为大。
Remember they said that, we said that as they came to Capernaum, when Jesus was in the house, he asked them, what were you discussing along the way? And they kept silent, for on the way they had argued with one another about who was the greatest.
所以他们没有谦卑的心。
They didn't have a heart of humility.
他们要比众人都大。
They wanted to be greater than the other.
可是耶稣就教导他们这一个谦卑的功课。
Here Jesus taught them this lesson on humility.
然后耶稣就继续下来说这一个 你们彼里头应当有言，彼此和睦。
And then he leads into this verse on in verse 50 that you should have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another.
他们之前甚至要阻止一个不在他们圈子里面的人，他们要阻止他，不让他传基督。
If you remember, in fact, a few chapters past, that they even wanted to stop a guy who wasn't in their circle from sharing the gospel.
就在第38节罢了。
And in fact, that was just in verse 38.
所以他们没有和睦的心，因为他们非常的骄傲，他们不谦卑。
They did not have they weren't harmonious. They didn't weren't at peace with one another because they weren't humble.
耶稣说，盐本是好的，若失了味，就不能够使它再咸。这个是讲这个掺杂的盐。
Jesus said salt is good, but if the salt has lost its saltiness, how will you make it salty again? He refers to that mixed salt.
你们里头应当有盐，就是说你们就是这个盐。
And he says, have salt in yourselves. That means that there is salt in you.
不只是外在的，不只是用盐撒在身上，而是你们里头就是盐，你就是盐。
And it is not just external salt, salt in the reference, in reference to the sprinkling of the sacrifice. He says, there is salt in you. You are salt.
就再度的让我们看见这一种极端的主义，不是掺杂的，不要与这一个世界掺杂，你必须就是这一个纯正的盐。
And again, it gives us the picture of that mixture of salt and gypsum, and it echoes point number one, where it says you need to be extremely separated from the gypsum.
外邦人是怎么样做的？
What is it that the Gentiles do?
他们要使自己为大。
They want to, elevate themselves.
他们贬低众人，为了是要提升自己。
They put others down in order to elevate themselves.
不过，如果你是真正的信徒，你必须要彼此和睦。这个就是纯正的盐的这一个用意。你必须要彼此和睦，不要像这个外邦人一样，不要做他们所做的事情。
And he's saying that if you are to have peace with yourselves or one another, you must be like the salt, not be like the gypsum.
不要那么的骄傲。
Do not be haughty and arrogant.
你们必须要彼此的和睦，彼此的有爱心。
You must live harmoniously with one another. You must have love for one another.
以弗所书五章二十一节也说，又当存敬畏基督的心，彼此顺服。
Or in the words of Ephesians 5:21, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ.
如果身为基督徒不谦卑，不是彼此顺服的话，是不可能彼此和睦的。
As Christians, if we are not humble,And if we do not love one another, then there is no way that we will be at peace with one another.
So we see this extreme biblical.
And so we see this biblical extremism in this passage.
这一个极端主义是非常难学习的功课。
And it is an extremely difficult lesson to learn.
因为这里耶稣所要求的是从里头所出来的，是内在的，而不只是外在的。
Because what Jesus is demanding is not an external appearance change, it is an inside change.
我们要怎样的来运用呢？
How can we apply this?
我可以给大家一个建议。
I have a suggestion.
就从教会开始。
Let's start in the church.
在我们的教会，在恩道堂教会开始。
Let's start right here in GBF.
我们要有极端的顺服。
We need to have an extreme submission.
我们必须要彼此的顺服。
We need to submit to one another.
这样的话，我们才能够彼此的鼓励。
Only then can we encourage one another.
我们才能够彼此鼓励，来有这一个极端的圣洁跟极端的牺牲。
We can then encourage one another to have this extreme separation and this extreme sacrifice.
如果我们不委身于教会，我们是不可能这么做的。
And if we do not separate with the church,
委身 committed.
Sorry, if we do not commit to the church, then we cannot do this.
因为我们不能够顺服，彼此顺服是不可能的。你不委身在教会里面侍奉，你怎么能够有这个顺服呢？
Because if I'm not committed to the church, then there's no way that we can submit to one another.
我们不要以为自己能够与这一个世界对抗。
We cannot believe that we can oppose this world.
要有极端的圣洁，要有极端的牺牲，必须要有彼此的鼓励，我们必须要一同的来行这一条天路。
In order to have extreme separation and extreme sacrifice, we need to walk this road together.
这个就是耶稣教导我们的功课，必须要彼此的和睦。
And this is the lesson that Jesus is teaching us, that we must be at peace with one another.
让我们做个结束的祷告。
Let us close in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we pray that even as the world around us is replete with ideology and practices that go against your will, and even in our lives, in our workplaces, in our spheres of influence, Lord, we see more and more of this. We pray that, Lord, you would help us as Christians not to be desensitized by the world, but to be even more committed, Lord, to following you, to submitting to your will, to your teaching, to your people, Lord. We pray that you would help us to do this even in this church, Lord, that we might begin here, that we might submit to one another, that we might encourage one another to live lives that are holy, that we would encourage one another, Lord, to commit to you, Lord, to sacrifice and to offer up our lives to you, Lord. We pray that you would help us to do this because we cannot do it on our own. We pray that you would help us to help others, our brothers and sisters, to do this as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.